This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, welcoming you to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. There are people throughout Washtenaw County that are making the conscious decision to make their personal property more hospitable to native wildlife. This Sunday, May 20th, Washtenaw County will be honored as the first in Michigan to meet the criteria for recognition as a community wildlife habitat by the National Wildlife Federation. Our guest today is Mary Lapp, and she's been working towards this goal for a while now. Back in 2013, as a volunteer for the National Wildlife Federation, Mary launched the Washtenaw Wilderness Community Wildlife Habitat. 5 years later, there are 400 homes, 49 common areas, and 12 schools in Washtenaw County that have been certified as community wildlife habitats. Thank you for the time today, Mary.
Oh, thanks for having me, David.
The words wildlife habitat, it kind of brings to my mind anyway a specific kind of environment, and this doesn't necessarily seem to fit into our urban or suburban residential area. So for the purposes of this specific designation, what does wildlife habitat mean?
So for the purposes of a community wildlife habitat, it means that you provide a wildlife-friendly environment on your property for animals, and particularly for our close to 150 threatened and endangered animals and plants in Washtenaw County. You have to provide food resources, a water resource, places to raise young, and sources of shelter. When you meet those criteria, you're able to register your home, business, school, church, or a common area like a park or a recreation area as a community wildlife habitat, part of the Washtenaw Wilderness.
So this brings up a number of questions. Let's just say I were to live on a finely manicured lawn with only the trees, shrubs, and plants picked out by the landscaper. What would I need to do to begin the conversion to something that would qualify as wildlife habitat?
Sure. Some of the things you can do, perhaps, would be to plant host plants for butterflies in containers. If there are strong restrictions in your community, these would provide shelter, food, and places to raise young for the caterpillars. Very few people know that each butterfly has only specific plants where they can raise their young. So this is one way. Another thing you can do is to be cognizant of the kinds of pesticides or chemicals that you're using on your property. Perhaps choose to not use any. This is something that the Wildlife Federation greatly encourages.
Now, what kind of wildlife would this actually bring to my back door? Because you're talking about caterpillars and butterflies, and that's kind of cute life, not wildlife. So what kind of critters are actually going to visit me?
There could be quite a variety. In my experience, when people choose to landscape with native plants rather than some sort of cultivated ornamental plants, wildlife just appears. If you plant perhaps a maple tree in your yard, you're going to get animals like squirrels or migrating birds coming through. Growing up, I had fox sparrows in my backyard, and it wasn't because I had a feeder. It was because we had a lot of native plants in our yard.
Mary, we certainly haven't talked about anything wild. Maple trees, a lot of us plant maple trees in our yards, but there are a lot of developments and neighborhood associations that have concerns about very specific aesthetics and impacts on property values. I'm sure that some have concerns about the kinds of critters that the wildlife habitat designation might bring to the neighborhood. So can a resident choose to seek designation without running afoul of the will of that particular neighborhood community's agreed-upon standards?
Sure, absolutely. And in our neighborhoods, there are plenty of ecological imbalances that bring, you know, perhaps an abundance of certain critters that munch away at our gardens. So we don't want to have that happen. Really, the goal is for people to think about their yards as a place that can be sort of an island or a sanctuary for our native wildlife in their community, perhaps by not, like I said, not spraying pesticides or using a lot of fertilizers, perhaps not using a lawn service anymore. The other thing that the Washtenaw Wilderness greatly supports is working towards legislation that makes neighborhood associations and communities more friendly to wildlife-friendly practices that benefit pollinators, things that would normally live in our communities like bats or bird species.
Well, certainly, we need the pollinators. We know our entire agricultural industry is dependent upon that and a lot of the other species as well. But then you think about a community like Ann Arbor. There's been the ongoing debate over what is an appropriate deer population.
Sure.
The city has conducted deer culls, and we're talking about potentially creating an environment that would draw more of these animals and perhaps lead to greater propagation of the species. So what would we do to not make sure that it is ultimately necessitating the need for some sort of remediation?
You know, that is an important thing to think about. And one thing we can do is to think about habitat outside of our home spaces and think about what is managed for wildlife. One of our partners is Ann Arbor Parks of Recreation, and they've given a lot of thought to what kinds of culling and just plantings are beneficial to wildlife in our area. The National Wildlife Federation and the Washington Wilderness doesn't really take a side in that matter, but we do want to make our spaces particularly beneficial to animals that might be threatened or endangered. So we try to incline people to look at their yards as part of that space for those animals, not so much just any animal that might come along. One thing people can do perhaps is if you own a cat, you can keep your cat indoors rather than letting it run outside. You know, cats tend to have a habit of attacking our native wildlife. So that's just one step people can take.
Isn't that part of the ecological balance, though?
It is, I would say.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Issues of the Environment. We're talking with Mary Lapp, the founder of Washington All Wilderness. More and more areas of the county are becoming designated wildlife habitats as recognized by the National Wildlife Federation. And we're talking about what that looks like and what that means. So you talked about common areas, parkland, and other areas where we might be able to observe an aesthetic that we can kind of get a picture of how that may apply at our home. So tell me about maybe something like the Thurston Nature Area. Am I going to get an idea of what my yard and what my lawn and perhaps what my neighborhood could look like?
Well, Thurston Nature is a certified wildlife habitat, and it's a great place to visit if you want to see some of the kinds of things you can do. The great thing about the Washington Wilderness Program is you can involve yourself as heavily or as little as you'd like. So Thurston Nature Area has prairie. They have a vernal pond section. They've got some invasive plants growing that they're working to manage. And those are all things that you might find in a park or a larger setting, but not necessarily your own yard. But there are things you can do to perhaps manage your own yard in a way that makes it friendly to wildlife by providing, you know, a bird bath or a supplemental feeding station for a species that need seeds in the wintertime, for example.
And something as simple as that can win you designation.
Yes, it's a very easy point of entry.
Once again, this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking about wildlife habitat with Mary Lapp. Where does the Washington All Wilderness Program go from here?
Oh, from here, we have many great partners. We partnered with Natural Areas Preservation Program in Ann Arbor. We partnered with Parks and Rec, Thurston Nature Area, the Wild Ones, Ann Arbor Chapter, Yusuf Rabi, who's working towards water legislation to keep our waterways clean, and both of our current mayor and our previous mayor in the city of Ann Arbor. And the best thing we can do is all educate ourselves and work towards educating our communities about the ability to live peacefully with wildlife, to both enjoy our environment and make an environment that is conserved and healthy and beneficial to the wildlife that was here before we were.
I'm glad you brought up the educational component. As I mentioned at the outset, there are 12 participating schools in Washtenaw County in this program. What does that look like, and how are the children being educated, and what might that manifest itself into in the future?
The school program is very similar to the home registration program, where the students themselves make choices for their school property, where they provide food resources, water, places to raise young, and shelter, and make observations about those things. I think it's a nice way to introduce students to the idea of conservation and that as a community we can each do something, even if it's something small.
Mary, thank you very much for the time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Mary Lapp, founder of Washington All Wilderness. The local efforts will be rewarded on Sunday, May 20th, this coming Sunday, as Washington All will become the first county in Michigan to win Community Wildlife Habitat designation from the National Wildlife Federation. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Office of the Washington All County Water Resources Commissioner. It's heard each Wednesday on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.